Keep smiling.
Well, good morning, Saints. Welcome to Grace Christian Center's live Sunday stream, April 12th, 2020. Let all the people rejoice. Jesus has risen from the dead. It's Resurrection Sunday, and people all over the world are celebrating the greatest day in human history, the day that Father God raised up Jesus, the Savior of the world, my Savior, your Savior, from the dead to everlasting life. And the living Christ Jesus offers you, he offers me, he offers each one of us, the whole world, his eternal life through faith in him today. And the mighty work of our Savior and Lord is given to us, those foundational truths that he developed as he was raised from the dead. We are Ron and Belinda Rayon. We're senior pastors here at Grace Christian Center, along with many other teachers and leaders who are on mission with God. To be the family of God and to demonstrate the kingdom of God in our community. We welcome you today. We believe that we are showing through our lives the goodness and the awesome powers of heaven as we submit to Jesus in the will of God, in his great wisdom, his order, and his rule in our lives. Jesus raised from the dead by the glory of the Father on the Resurrection Sunday almost 2,000 years ago. He was raised from the dead, but the blood of Jesus was revived and preserved and lives today. And that is an important aspect of our Christian faith for many, many reasons. And we're here to share some of those reasons of the power of the blood and the importance of it in the resurrection with you today. We believe that this particular Passover season and the particular Resurrection Sunday today, or as some call it, Easter Sunday, is all about the blood of Jesus. And what we've been saying to each other lately is,
it's about the blood.
It's about the blood. And remember what Jesus said at Passover. In Luke 22:20, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." The blood was given to us in the sacrament of communion. Let's pray today. Father, we just thank you for the people who are joining online and around the world. Also, those who will listen by audio podcast later on, maybe in the week. We thank you for each and every one who's hearing the message of the resurrection of your son, Jesus, and the power of his living and eternal blood today. We thank you for opening our ears to hear, opening our hearts to perceive, and our eyes to see the revelation you want to release to us on this Sunday. It's all about my blood. So I thank you, Lord. And, you know, as we move together through this message today, we affirm the Holy Scriptures and the purpose and power of the blood given to us as a demonstration of God's love to us. And also we're going to move into how to demonstrate, how to appropriate, how to activate the truths of the blood so that we become free from sin. The power of the blood can free us from sin. It can free us from guilt. It will free us from any sense of unrighteousness. It'll free us from the fear of death. The power of the blood will free us from any fear of hell and the grave. It is powerful and works deliverance from sickness, from lack,
yes,
oppression,
yes,
depression,
yes,
rejection,
yes,
or anything that separates us from the love of God and the life of God, and for us to be reconciled with him and to be with him. So our message today is, it's all about the blood. God has reconciled us, the Bible says. And if you Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I'll read a scripture for you from Colossians 1, 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether these are things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The idea that the writer of Colossians, who we believe is Apostle Paul, is saying to you and I today is that through the blood of Jesus, everything has been reconciled to God. That the power of the blood to reconcile has been given to us. So we're sharing Bible truths today about the eternal living blood of Jesus. So Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father on that resurrection Sunday almost 2,000 years ago. And the blood of Jesus was revived and preserved until today and lives today. And that's an important aspect of our Christian faith for many reasons. So we'll go through some of those reasons as we continue our message today. Later on, we'll be receiving the communion together. So if you don't have your elements with you, maybe you want to slip away and get them, get the bread and cup, and bring them into your home there. And we'll lead you in receiving the communion as we go. That Colossians 1, 19 and 20 scripture tells us that by the blood of Jesus, God has reconciled all things to himself for us, in us, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of things in the records of heaven that need to be reconciled to God. I've done some things I'm not proud of. I've had some things happen in my life that have turned my life in a direction away from God. There's some things in the records that need to be reconciled to God. There's some things on earth that need to be reconciled to God. And this scripture, beloved, tells us that the blood of Jesus has reconciled all those things to God. God has reconciled us and all these things to himself. And I looked up the definition of reconcile for us so we wouldn't know. It says to restore to a friendly and family relationship as a child of God. You know, today the blood of Jesus can reconcile us to him as children of the Most High God by believing in his son Jesus and that he was sacrificed for us and raised from the dead and lives today. To be reconciled means to live in a life of harmony with God. Isn't it good to just live in the Spirit of God together? Amen. And it says also in the definition is to be made complete, made compatible, made, and it means to make one account consistent with the other. That is, the account of my sins is made consistent with the holiness of God. When the blood of Jesus is applied to my heart and life and to yours, your sins are washed away by the power of the shed blood of Jesus, which is alive and lives today. It says that in the definition, it says to make one account consistent with another, especially by allowing for transactions begun but not yet completed. Isn't that good? I'm glad that the things that have not yet been completed are going to be complete in the record of heaven. I'm reminded of that old song, long ago, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today as he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. I really can't express more to you how joyful it is on Resurrection Sunday morning to proclaim that the blood of Jesus has washed away our sins and we are one with God and reconciled to him. through the blood of Jesus, there's no more separation of us from the life of God. And we begin to live with God in the kind of the life of God, the truth of God. And as his life begins to work in us, and we begin to desire what he desires, think like he thinks, believe what he believes for us, and begin to proclaim the power of the blood in our lives to redeem us from all destruction, then we begin to live the God kind of life. I'm reminded of that old song, there's power, power, wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power. In the precious blood of the Lamb. And so the blood came to earth. Remember when Mary conceived the baby, Jesus. Jesus was conceived, and the blood that was poured out of his body in the affliction and crucifixion is still alive today.
Yes.
And it's on the mercy seat in heaven. I'm going to have Pastor Belinda read a passage of scripture for you that is important to understand what happened after the resurrection. Jesus walked into the Holy of Holies with his own blood and made an offering for sins once and for all. So here's a passage of scripture from the book of Hebrews.
Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Amen. 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 So the power of the blood, when confessed to God, changes our sense of guilt to a sense of righteousness. A lot of people like to say they're just sinners saved by grace. But the Bible says when we confess the Lord Jesus, we are born again and we're transferred from the power of darkness to the kingdom of the light, the Son of his love. And that in that transformation, we're changed from sinners to saints. And we should begin to confess our righteousness through the blood of Jesus and begin to believe what the Bible says about us, that we are
the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes.
And there's a force of righteousness.
There's
something about knowing you're right and knowing you're of the truth and knowing you're of God and knowing you have a right to be where God has placed you, to a right to confess that he is your Lord and Savior, and to confess the power of the blood to deliver you from evil. Remember, Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we're praying today that God will deliver us from evil, and we believe that he is. Amen. Amen. Let me read you another scripture from Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart full of assurance of faith. We believe we are made holy before God, and that we have a right to the throne of God. Another scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace where you may obtain mercy to help and grace to help in time of need. And so we come to you, Father, through the blood of Jesus today. We release the blood of Jesus over the congregation, those who are listening today. We release the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, for reconciliation to God, for reconciliation of all things in their families today. And it goes on to say in verse 22, let us draw near then with that full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another, consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, not just meeting, not just coming together, but assembling all members in church, all members taking their place, all members ministering their ministry to one another and to God. And won't be long until we'll be assembling again together. Yes. Amen. And because the blood of Jesus is going to drive this pandemic out of here, and we're going to be together soon. Amen. But it says, goes on to say, exhort one another and do it much more as the day approaches. Beloved, it's all about the blood. When God raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus took his blood, which was also revived and living, and he walked into the Holy of Holies, according to the book of Hebrews, and he put his own blood on the mercy seat and offered himself and the sacrifice of blood once for all, for everyone, for all the sins of the world. And what that has done is has brought us to a new place. Everybody out there, you should say with me, we're in a new place.
We're in a new place.
we're in a new place. It's all about the blood.
City of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel.
Amen. It's speaking a better thing. What do you think it's saying? What's it speaking?
The blood speaks.
Amen.
It says you've been delivered and set free.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And you are covered by my blood, and the death angel will pass over. He'll have nothing to do with you or your household.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so how do we then appropriate the blood? It says this, it talks about sprinkling the blood. It talks about applying the blood. It talks about the blood speaking of a new covenant to us. Remember when Jesus gave the communion sacrament, he said, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So how do we actually appropriate the power of the blood to do these things in our lives that the scriptures say should be occurring and happening? Well, Revelation 12, 10 through 12 says this, then I heard a voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Jesus has been lifted up and the devil has been cast down. Jesus said, all power and authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything I've commanded you to do. So Jesus has all power and all authority. If Jesus has all power and all authority, how much power and authority does the devil have?
None.
Zero.
Zero.
He has none.
None.
And so all power has been given to Jesus, and Jesus has given it to us as his sons and daughters in the body of Christ. And it goes on to say in verse 11, and they overcame him. Say this with me. I'm overcoming him.
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 By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
And I do not love my life unto the death.
And I do not love my life unto the death.
I'm not afraid of dying. Amen.
Just be with Jesus.
Amen. So you're just with Jesus.
Amen.
Worst thing that can happen to me is I see Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so we fear no death. We do not fear the grave.
No.
We fear God. And we believe in the power of the blood. So what do? We make declarations. It says by the word of our testimony. So our voices release the truth of God concerning our life. If I want to affirm my eternal life, I say, thank you, Lord, for giving me eternal life through the sacrifice of your son, Jesus, and the offering of his blood, which speaks of a new covenant to me. I have a new covenant with you, God. I'm a covenant man. I'm as David when he approached Goliath. He said, you're an uncircumcised Philistine. You have no covenant. Coronavirus 19 has no covenant with God. I have a covenant with God through the blood of Jesus. And I come against that has no covenant. And I take authority in the blood of Jesus in the name of the Lord. And I cast it down, push it back, resist the devil, and he will flee from me. By the blood of your cross, Jesus, I believe I'm reconciled to God. I'm a child of God. My guilt is gone. I confess my sins before you. You know, if I need peace of mind or healing in my body, I just begin to believe and confess what Isaiah said about the cross. He said in Isaiah 53, I believe it is, he said, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. Brothers and sisters, if you need peace today in your mind, I release the power of the blood of Jesus to break every depression, every rejection, every despondency, every negative attitude in your life, broken by the power of the blood of Jesus. And I release you to the thoughts and intents of God and the heart of a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, who's in Christ is in you. There's hope for glory. Hallelujah. I release the power of the blood to you. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. If you need healing today, I release the power of the blood. You will not stay as the doctor's reports may be true. They're subject to change by the power of the blood of Jesus. I want Belinda to read a little bit from a book by Mrs. C. Newsom. This lady was a missionary late in the 1800s, and she wrote a book that was published in 1928, and I'll tell you why that's important to remember at the end of a story, which she'll read a little bit later. But what does Mrs. C. Newsom have to say about the blood?
She says, "But God tells us to resist the devil and to declare that he will then flee. God gives us an invincible weapon. It's the all-powerful blood of Jesus. Jesus gave his own blood as a ransom, and it is written, they overcame him. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. This is the victory that overcometh even your faith." So we see that it is the blood and faith in his blood that always enables us to overcome the devil. The blood robs him of all power to afflict us if we will only hide away under it. Jesus said, "My blood is shed for you." We must also believe what God says about the blood of Jesus, that it overcomes Satan, takes all power from him. When we are covered with the blood, Satan is powerless to enter, to put evil upon us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
She goes on to say in another place here, in Luke 22:20, Jesus said, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. So long as we are walking in obedience." You see, there is a condition here to be obedient to the word of God. If we are obedient to him, we have a right to that blood every moment. She tells a story about...
Before you say that, when you said this condition, it reminds me of that scripture in Romans 16, 18, and 19. It says, "Be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of evil. And the God will soon crush Satan underneath your feet." Let me try that again. "Be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of evil. And the God of peace," that's what it says, "the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet." We're at a time in history when I'm calling on the heavens and the power of heaven by the blood of Jesus that the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Amen. And there's a wonderful story that is in this book, and I would like to read that as well.
It's so encouraging. Mrs. Dim said, "I was down in Mexico when so many bandits were active. and at one time was in a town when the United States authorities sent word to us to get out, that we were in danger. The red flaggers were coming. Then the Mexican authorities also sent us word to get out, and nearly all the families went away, and they asked me to go, but God did not give me the liberty to go. Although the authorities did not promise me any protection, however, I told them I was not looking to them to take care of me, but I was trusting God. And as he was taking care of me, I was just as safe, surrounded by those marauders, as when alone.
Amen.
So one day I heard a noise looking out, and I saw the Mexican soldiers coming. I never thought of danger, although the road ran very close to my door. I went and I stood in the doorway to look in their faces and see what they were like. I tell you this to show how God had taken the fear away. I was in a large adobe house all alone with God, and I went to bed and I slept sweetly all night. These soldiers were in the town 2 days and nights, and usually they took the largest house in the town, and I was the largest.
Oh, amen.
But they entered every house except mine.
Come on.
And they did not come into my house at all.
Come on.
One day, two officers came to the house and they stood opposite the door. I saw they wanted something, and I walked to the door. They said, "Can you tell us where we can get some feed for our horses?" I told them I could not. But they did not come in to see if I was lying to them, as they usually do. But they tipped their hats and they went away. Hallelujah. They tipped their hats and they went away. She was covered by the blood of Jesus. She was fearless.
Amen. It's time to be covered by the blood of Jesus. It's time for us to make a confession that we are children of the blood. We're children by the blood. We're children in the blood. We're in the power of the blood from daylight till dark, from morning until evening. And Ms. Newsom has a confession of faith that she does, and it's a good one. And I don't know if you have that handy, but I just want, as she reads this, and then we'll declare it over you just before we receive the communion, is what I'd like to do today. What does she, how does she activate the power of the blood?
She said, as soon as I awaken in the morning, she said, we should cry for the blood to be upon us.
Upon us.
Within us.
Within us.
All around us.
All around us.
Between us and evil.
Between us and evil.
And the author of evil.
The author of evil.
And she said, the last thing before we sleep, we should, in the same way,
cry out
for the protection of the blood.
Thank you for the protection of the blood. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the protection of the blood upon us, within us, all around us, between us and evil, and the author of evil.
Amen. Make that your war. Can you find that paragraph? We were reading this book again last night, and she makes a declaration in this book. Is written in before 1928, because it was published in 1928. But she talks about we're in a time of war and the timeliness of declaring the blood of Jesus. And my friends, we are in a war. It's a world war. She was writing at the end of World War I, and she was declaring even back in 1928 that we need to declare the blood of Jesus in the time of war. And so I want to awaken the church to warfare, awaken the church to declaration, awaken the church to the revelation that we have the power of the blood. And when we take the communion, when I say, and in like manner, he took the cup and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. You can say, thank you, Jesus, your blood is shed for you. Let's receive the communion together. Do you have your elements there? Let Belinda read this paragraph for you.
Now, in such a time of war, we need to cry out for the protection of the blood. If a mother has a son and she is a Christian, she can put the blood on the door and claim his salvation and protection.
Amen.
That blood cries to God, and God hears the cry. It is the one thing that keeps you safe in these days of awful danger. That was me. We're still in days of awful danger.
We're still in days of awful danger. But we have the blood of Jesus. That's what I want you to say with me right now. I have the blood of Jesus.
I have the blood of Jesus.
And I know how to apply the blood of Jesus.
And I know how to apply the blood of Jesus.
I confess by faith.
I confess by faith.
The power of the blood.
The power of the blood.
In my life.
In my life.
To do all the redemption.
To do all the redemption.
And all the reconciliation.
And all the reconciliation.
Christ died for.
Christ died for.
And lives to
and
make.
Lives.
Real to me today.
And lives to make real to me today.
Amen. So Amen. If you'll receive with us the communion, just take your bread or unleavened bread or whatever you may have there, which represents the body of the Lord. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So we receive your body, Lord. The bread is the healing of the for the children. Healing is the bread for the children. As we receive the broken body of the Lord, right now where you are, I release the healing virtue of Christ from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. We just believe every cell in your body will remember only perfect soundness and perfect wholeness. We believe that there are stem cells in your body that are created to go and recreate new cells wherever you need them. And so, Father, we just pray for a multiplication of stem cells in everybody's body, the healing ones. And the way the healing virtue wants to work in their life, just let it work, amen, by the power of the blood. We pronounce everyone under the healing hand of the powerful blood of Jesus, amen. And the Bible says, in like manner, he took the cup. And it says, after supper, he took it, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." My beloved, as we drink the cup together, we remember the power of the blood to redeem us from every destruction. Let's receive the blood together. The Bible goes on to say in that verse, a passage of scripture, verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." But we do not drink it unworthily. We drink it in a respectful and worthy manner. And so we are not guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, but we are recipients of the blessing of the body and blood of the Lord. It says in verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and of that cup." We don't receive the communion because we deserve it. We receive the communion because we need it. We need to confess the power of the resurrection. It says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are weak and sick among you." And so the converse of that is if we receive in a worthy manner, we will not be sick and we will not be weak and we will not die, but we will have the life of God in us. It says in verse 31, "If we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Father, just right now, I stretch my hands out. Belinda and I stretch our hands out towards you. We release the power of the blood of Jesus upon the doorposts of your heart for the reconciliation of all things given unto you by the power of the living Christ and his living blood that speaks today from the mercy seat of God and brings you to the health, the preservation, the protection, and the provision that's in the covenant. You are God's covenant people, and he will supply all your need. Amen. Amen. I want to just bless you with this from Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. That book of Hebrews is a real important book for these days. The Bible, this is Paul's blessing. And I just want to repeat that over the people today. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Happy Resurrection Day. If you want to, you can see our sermons online on our website. There's podcasts that will be up there later this week. Also, if our podcast and our YouTube channel, our Facebook channel have been a blessing to you, you may want to send us an offering. Those of you who are members of the church, we've been just receiving your offerings really in great amounts. We really appreciate your consistency in giving. You can, of course, send a check to our 683 Maiden Lane, St. Joseph, Michigan address, or you can give three ways online. If you check out the description part of our YouTube channel or on our Facebook page as well, you can click on the link there, which will take you to online giving. You can also text the word give to 833-956-8295. Or if you have the Cash App app, you can give through Cash App at $Grace Christian Center. Again, thanks for tuning in with us today. It won't be long. We'll be back together. And we're just believing God that God's richest and best will be yours. Amen.